Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books. Up first is my romantic suspense releasing this month, Fatal Past. What past experience has had the most impact on making my heroine who she is today? For Eve Davenport, it's the loss of her child. Her upbringing was harder than she revealed to her high school boyfriend, Jefferson Smith, but it was the loss of her baby that drove her into being a pediatrics doctor and away from her uncle who had been her guardian. For my hero, what was his biggest regret? That he broke up with Eve, his high school sweetheart. Jefferson has always regretted what he thought at the time as being a noble jester to not encumber Eve with a boyfriend during her first year away from home at college. He realizes with the hindsight of an adult, his teenage self also didn't trust that the love they had was strong or real enough to survive the long distance dating necessary because they were going to different colleges. He thought breaking up with her before the end of their senior year would soften the blow that he was sure going to come eventually. Who or what does my villain love the most? Money. As the Bible tells us, the love of money is the root of all evil, and my villain loves money. My villain cannot get enough of money. In this story, the villain's love of money drives him to murder and kidnapping and a host of other crimes because they want more money. Why did I pick this story's setting? In this story, I returned to Twin Oaks, Virginia, a fictitious town set in the Shenandoah Valley. It's a setting for my novellas and another short novel, and I love the versatility of a small town amidst apple orchards and the Blue Ridge Mountains in the distance. The reason I created Twin Oaks to begin with was that while there were a lot of quaint towns in the Shenandoah Valley, none were situated exactly where I wanted one to be, so I thought I would make one up. It's been fun to add restaurants and stores as well as a small police force to the town, and I hope to continue using it for future novellas and including setting the sequel to Fatal Past in that as well. For me, one of the easiest parts of writing this book was the plot. I got the idea for the plot, and it was pretty easy for me to just kind of think about how it would impact the hero and the heroine and their backstory and their connection. And I love writing second chance romances. I think those are just really fun to write as well. And what is the tagline for Fatal Past? I am so glad you asked. It's, the truth was buried years ago, now it's back, along with dangers, secrets, and a second chance at love.
I am delighted to welcome Jacqueline Adam to my show. She's going to talk about her upcoming romantic suspense release, Kidnap for Ransom. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited.
So what in this story, what lie does your heroine believe?
Well, in this story, Chelsea, our main character, she's a family doctor, and unfortunately she's been caught up in a whole host of a web of lies, and they're not of her own making. For years, she was happily married to a man she believed to be a hardworking property developer. And then late one night, there's a police knock on her door, and he not only informs her that her husband's been murdered, but that he's actually a notorious jewel thief from the East Coast, and that there's over $500,000 worth of diamonds that remain unrecovered. And her life is completely turned upside down. And while Chelsea, she believes in God, in recent years she's been busy with her career as a doctor, and she's a mom to a four-year-old girl, Linnell, and she just hasn't made the time to get to church, and her faith has really suffered because of it. And now when she needs God most, she believes that her relationship has gotten too distant, and she's like, if I can't have that connection with God in the best of times, I don't have a right to just show up because my life's fallen apart. So it's quite the arc for her.
And what about your hero? What is holding him back from finding love in this story?
Well, Matt, he grew up in McMinnville, and he grew up actually next door to Chelsea's aunt. And Chelsea used to spend her summers at her aunt's house. And Matt's sister, Gabby, was best friends with the main character, Chelsea. And the three of them became inseparable. But that last summer that Chelsea spent visiting, something shifted between her and Matt, and they almost had a romance, but then things went sideways, and Matt got deeply hurt. And so now that Chelsea's back as an adult, he can see that things are happening in her life, and he doesn't want anything bad to happen to her, but he doesn't want to risk his heart getting hurt a second time.
Yes, that is always a hard chance to take. What about your villain in this story? What's his or her motivation?
Okay, in the story, there's actually two villains, which makes things lots of fun as a writer to write.
Yes.
Both are revealed pretty quickly. The first villain is her late husband's accomplice, and his motivation is a mix of fear and greed. He owes a lot of money to some people that you don't want to owe money to, and he was relying on a big payday from the heist to kind of even out those scales. And then the second is the mobster that her late husband stole from, and he loves power and control, and he's someone who's feared in his circles, and he can't afford to have anyone think that he's weak. So getting those diamonds back isn't just about the gems, it's about protecting his authority and his reputation. So both men are pretty desperate, and that makes them both dangerous for some very different reasons.
Yeah, definitely. So what about the challenge in writing the book and where you have it set?
For me, it was the biggest challenge for me in writing it was that the Rogue River is actually a real place. And I wanted to be able to capture the beauty and the authenticity of it, but at the same time, I did need to take some creative license to make certain events kind of unfold in the story. So there are places where there's just, in real life, there's just a small creek that crosses the hiking trail, and the creek, when I write it's quite a bit bigger, and I added a large waterfall, and there's also a historic cabin, and I changed the name of that and added a secret meadow in behind that overlooks the canyon. My heart was really to honor the real landscape, and yet I needed to kind of shape it to fit the backdrop for the suspense. And I found striking the right balance was challenging, but it was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, that it is. When we tweak a real thing, we have to be careful. But it sounds like a very, very good setting for your story. So, which brings me to why this story? Why did you want to write this particular story?
Well, I grew up watching romantic suspense movies with my mom and my sister. We watched movies like River Wild with Meryl Streep and Romancing the Stone with like Kathleen Turner. And it was actually, I was rewatching River Wild, and my mind just started drifting over those fun, what if questions and what if daydreams that us authors just love. And over the next few weeks, my brain just kept going over different plot ideas, and the characters just started to spark. And once that happened, I just knew I had to write it. And it felt fitting too, because my mom, she just passed away about just over 25 years ago now. And in many ways, it felt like a fitting way to honor her.
Oh, yeah, I love when we can do that with our writing and our books. So we're going to close our short time together with what is your book's tagline for Kidnap for Ransom?
Abduction is only the beginning. Will murder be next?
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing about your book today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to be here.
I am delighted to welcome back Terry Reed to my show. She's going to talk about her latest release, Texas Christmas Cover Up. So, welcome back, Terry.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy these questions.
So, we're going to dive right in with the heroine. Who is the most important person in her life in this story?
That would be her daughter, Emily. She's a precocious 4-year-old and very active in the story and very, she was a fun character to write.
Yes, that age is can have a lot of fun with it, I think. So I can see why you had fun with that. So what about your hero? What is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
So the hero, Jeremy, his first reaction is always action. It's better to come out swinging because inaction can get you killed. That's kind of his motto in life. So he is a man of action, and sometimes he has to be pulled back.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Sometimes it's better to think before we act, as we all have experience with, no matter what our first reaction might be.
Yes, exactly.
So the villain in your story, what motivates your villain?
Well, that's a complex question because he is a complex, they are motivated by one of the oldest motivations, greed and self-protection. It's what keeps the villain in play throughout the whole story.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it might seem foreign to some of us, but, I mean, it really motivates a lot of people. So
It does.
I mean, it doesn't have to slip into, criminal activity, but it can definitely be a big motivation. So
right.
Let's switch to the challenge. What was the biggest challenge in writing the book in the setting that you have? And I'm going to guess that it's in Texas.
It is in Texas. It's on South Padre Island, which is a small island right off the Gulf of Mexico, off of Texas. And part of the island is a national park reserve, which is really cool. That was fun to use. But it's an island setting at Christmas. So that was the challenge, was creating that Christmas feel on this island without snow and all the, normal trappings that we think of when we think of Christmas as a setting. So I was I think I was able to do it.
Yeah. Sounds like maybe you were able to do it. So why this particular story? What drew you to want to write this story?
So this is the companion to my book that came out last February, Trained to Protect. And the hero in this book is the brother to the heroine from that book. And I really wanted to give him his story. So, and in that story, I set up that he had had a ex-girlfriend from high school, and there was a mystery surrounding some things that happened back in high school. And so it was really fun to give Jeremy and Kara their own story and see how it would go. Would they be able to reconcile or not?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go on a limb here and say we do write happily ever afters, but how they get there is entertaining and a lot of fun. So I'm sure that's the case. Yeah. So we're going to close our short time together, Terry, with what is one thing you want readers to know about Texas Christmas cover-up?
Well, this is a story of redemption, second chances, reunion romance, and a cold case mystery. There's turtles and a beautiful canine named Raz who makes several appearances and helps save the day.
Ah, I love it. That sounds like a great read. And you have Christmas. You forgot to throw in
Christmas
in there. And you have Christmas on an island. What could be better? Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to welcome Laura Conaway back to my show. She's going to talk about her upcoming romantic suspense, Last Chance Christmas. So welcome back, Laura.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about my novella, Rescued Hope.
What past experience has had the most impact on making your heroine in that novella who she is today?
Yeah, so someone that Kiana dearly loved was killed at the hands of the escaped convict in my story, and so she is ready to do anything to find him and make sure he's put behind bars again and justice is served.
And what about your hero in this story? What's holding him back from finding love?
So Cole doesn't want to invest in something that will only be destroyed because he sees love as something that can just easily be broken.
And what about your villain in this story? What's the motivation for your villain?
So my villain thrives on victory and success. He sees that he's being given another chance at life outside of prison. And so, unfortunately, he's not afraid to use illegal means to make sure everyone knows that he's superior.
And the let's talk about the setting of the story. If it's a fictitious place, what did you base it on?
So the setting was super fun to dive into and is actually based on a small town on the West Coast in between, like, Washington and Idaho area.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. And what about what did you find was the hardest part of writing this particular story?
So the hardest part for this novella was that it takes place throughout a major winter storm only over the course of a couple of days, so like 48 hours about. And so I also worked with two other authors, and so we each wrote our own novella in this collection, and we had to make sure our timelines matched up. So there were lots of edits and revisions involved in that.
Yeah, that does sound kind of tricky, but I'm hearing in your voice that you nailed it. So you got it.
Yes.
You got it all right. It makes all sense. So what about the final thing before we close our short time is, what is one thing you want readers to know about your novella?
So this novella centers around three escaped convicts. And so each story follows a new hero and a new heroine who are working to capture one of those convicts. And so I hope readers just fall in love with these characters because they get to see them throughout each of these stories. And that's so fun to be able to follow them through each thread.
Oh, so they're all kind of interwoven together.
They are, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Last Chance Christmas in your novella in that collection today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It was great chatting.
I am delighted to welcome Lori DeYoung to my show. She's going to talk about her October release, Mistletoe and Malice. So welcome to my show, Lori.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So we're going to talk about the heroine first in this story. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today?
She was in law school, the brother of one of her best friends was wrongfully convicted of killing his wife. And so his trial and subsequent conviction led her to change her focus from corporate law to criminal defense with the goal of helping him with his appeals. And that led to her present career championing the wrongfully convicted, offering her services pro bono. That's probably had the biggest impact on her since it, you know, is her career.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what about your hero in this story? What is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
Well, he's a bodyguard, so he's a quick thinker and doesn't hesitate to jump in, especially since he's well-trained. He's a former Secret Service agent, and he doesn't hesitate to put himself in the line of fire to protect someone else.
And what about your villain? What kind of motivation does he have or she have in this story?
Oh, that's a good question. And I don't want to give away too many clues about who it might be. But suffice it to say that, as with most villains, I think he loves himself more than anything or anybody in his life. I don't know that he's necessarily a psychopath. I think he's more of a sociopath. It's all about him. And he doesn't handle rejection well, or really at all, and feels the world owes him because of some things that happened during his childhood that he felt were unfair.
And what about the story setting? Where is this? Why did you pick this particular setting for this story?
I picked Houston, Texas. All of my books take place in Texas. I live in Central Texas, just north of Austin. And I chose Houston for this book because my last series was set in Arlington and Fort Worth. So I wanted a large city where there were many large worldwide corporate headquarters, like big tall buildings, and that could accommodate the residences of extremely wealthy people. So my heroine comes from a family that's very, very wealthy. And I just needed an area that would support that business that her family's in, as well as just the fact that they live there in like a little Texas castle.
Yeah, I gotta love those Texas castles. Yeah, so what about the underlying positive message of mistletoe and malice?
For me, the underlying positive message would be that God sees no difference in social standing. He doesn't care if we're rich or poor, or, you know, what color we might be, or what socioeconomic place we might be in. He loves all of us and gave himself for all of us. He can take any circumstance, any loss, any heartbreak or failure, any fear, and he can redeem it for his purposes and make something beautiful out of it. And that although we may turn from him after facing challenges or enduring tragedies, he's always right there when we turn back around. He never leaves us. He's just waiting for us to turn around and bring him back.
I love that. Such a positive message. And I love that we're able to weave those into our stories, even though we have villains and things that are not going so right, go right sometimes for our hero and heroine. So it's nice that
exactly
Christian authors, we can really show that truth. We're going
to
shift.
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too. It's one of my favorite parts about writing Christian romantic suspense. So we're going to close our short time with, what is the book tagline for Mistletoe and Malice?
He's sworn to protect your life, but guarding his heart may be his biggest challenge.
Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today, Lori.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.